This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Story number one.
Yeah, the Braves moving on from Ian Anderson. They do make a trade with the Angels, and the Angels have become, because of our, you know, association with one of our former guys in the front office working there, moving pieces back and forth. We thought it was, for a minute, what, 2 weeks ago, looked good for Ian Anderson.
And then not so good, as he couldn't get people out and started walking every other guy that he faced, Mike. So the Ian Anderson era, experiment, whatever you want to call it, in Atlanta officially comes to an end. They trade him for a reliever.
Yeah, man, and they need some help in the bullpen. Left-hander Jose Suarez, who can also do a start in the pinch, if you will, if you need that sixth man. Club also optioned Bryce Elder to Gwinnett, and Jesse Chavez, Craig Kimbrell. They're going to have to start at least in the minor leagues, along with catcher James McCann. Yeah, no, Chavez came back.
Jesse Chavez.
I know. Well, 1 year he gets cut by the White Sox, we pick him up. This year gets cut by the Rangers, we pick up. You knew it was coming. I mean, I tweeted it out over the weekend. I mean, you know it's going to happen. And everyone's kind of like, no, yes. Because we still do pitching on the cheap. Feel bad for Ian Anderson. The Tommy John surgery, and again, he was a big part of the world. I mean, everybody who contributed to that pitching staff the year in 21. And then subsequently, Chris couldn't catch a break.
No, and Oren tells me, by the way, this is Chavez's seventh stint with the Braves.
Right. I mean, he's like the boomerang.
It's unbelievable.
You know? I mean, he's like a set of luggage you can't get rid of in your attic. But anyway, Haas, look, whatever he can do, you know, that I've always been amazed that 89 mile an hour stuff doesn't just get hit like 600 feet. But
Well, sometimes it's
always usually in the broadcast, and this usually happens when like Brandon or some of the guys will be going, well, you know, the guys really want to see you make the All-Star team. Pow! You know, oh, and that just hit the Omni. Someone just got plunked in the balcony at one of their, at a room overlooking the pool. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. And I understand there's always going to be that sort of great sentimental spot for some fans. But enough is enough already. The guy's a bust. You know, I mean, whatever you get is gravy. Same thing goes for Kimbrel. Just spend some real money on the pitching back, you know, when Hot Stove League was going. You wouldn't be making these Mickey Mouse moves.
Well, this is why we talk about what we talk about every year, Mike, because you don't make these moves. You try to monkey around. And to Alex's credit, a lot of them work.
Right.
But not every single one. You can't bat 1,000 on these.
So the rotation is set. Sale, Lopez, Schwellenbach, Holmes, and Smith, Shaver. And we're waiting to see just how Strider gets cooking. Here is Alex Anthopoulos from Sirius Satellite Radio talking about how good Strider's looked.
I mean, he looks like he's in the way he always was. So I thought, you know, maybe it'll take a little time for the velo to get back up there. Maybe it'll take a little bit of time for the command to come. Granted, it was a short outing, but it was just explosive and electric, and I don't think it would have mattered who he would have faced, just the command and the stuff. So I'll be very curious to see how it looks again today, but you know, assuming he continues to do well and throw well and look good, this will be his last outing of the spring, and the plan would be jump into a rehab assignment.
Now, a lot of fans go, look, he looks great. Why does he have to go monkey around in Gwinnett? But that's the way they've got it planned. That's from Alex. Also about the veterans we just talked about, some of the guys, and some of them, you know, for outfield depth, some of them make sense. Here's Alex on the moves.
You know, for us, it just made a whole lot of sense. Normally, guys like that aren't available in the scenario. So, look, it took till the end of spring training. And like you talked about with the James McCann or Craig Kimbrell, those guys normally aren't available at this time of year. And the fact that they're willing to come and provide insurance and depth for us. And, you know, those guys are all big league players. So we normally don't have those guys waiting in the wing. So we're excited to be able to add all three.
And hopefully we see very little of all three of them, Mike Bell, because right. Acuna and Strider come back healthy and they're rip-roaring and ready to go.
We picked up Verdugo for depth as well in the outfield. Speaking of the outfield, what exactly is the timeline with Ronald Acuna? Here's AA one more time.
Ronald looks phenomenal, too. And, you know, same thing. He came back from the injury in 2022. He was okay. He was good. but he wasn't elite like he'd always been. I think just having gone through that process, us as a staff, giving him more time, strengthening his legs, I do think when he does come back, he's going to have a good chance to be a elite player. So I'm cautiously optimistic we'll get a better version than we did in 2022.
Yeah, man, I know that Ian Anderson, we were just talking about, a couple of guys hit us up in the text line saying, like, you gave him every opportunity. He just, you can't throw 15 walks in spring training and expect to make the club knowing this was make or break. There was no more. And guys, if you don't understand, I mean, we've talked about it with Grant McCauley, and he'll join us throughout the week. There's just X amount of times you can go back and forth from the big club to the minors, and eventually you don't have that resource anymore. And so that's why it was kind of blanket get off the pot. He gets traded to the Angels.
Yeah, and now, Mike, the kid. A.J. Smith-Shawver.
Go time for him now. Yeah. Now, again, you know me. Carl always laughs when I go through the whole list, you know, from Folty to Newcomb to Tukey Toussaint to Bryce Elder, who got sent back to the minors. You stick with the big club, you know? I mean, just now's your chance, baby. Don't spit the bit, as they say in horse racing. That's the thing that goes in the horse's mouth for those who don't follow. But anyway, just get it together, man.
Well, here's the thing, Mike. He's not really going to have a choice. Because if Sale and Lopez need their usual rest in between starts, he's getting the ball. Right. They don't have anybody else right now, unless you're turning back to an Elder or giving a Hurston Waldrop, who's still too young, in my opinion, another chance. He flamed out in the big leagues last year. So I think A.J. Smith-Shawver, like, listen, I'm not saying there's a ton of pressure on him. He's the number five, but he's going to get the ball.
Right. It's time to go, baby. That's why they drafted you, cultivated you, brought you through the system. Now let's go. Hey, man, it is our daily download brought to you by ATL. Live well. Don't just live. Live well. Story number two, the Hawks on a win streak.
Story number two.
Yeah, man, Trey goes for 28. They beat, I love, you hear all the adjectives, the prefixes, hapless, you know, just struggling Sixers, and hey, that's a them problem. The process is kaput, but can the Hawks get over 500? They're one game under 500. Problem is they got a road trip, starting with Houston. Houston just had their win streak snapped, by the way, against the Clippers, but it's a nice effort for Trey. It wouldn't be Trey without talking about the refs. Here's Trey, and, you know, he also enjoys, first, we'll get to the beef on the refs. First, a chance to play off the ball with other guys' hand on the rock.
Man, I would love that. I mean, as long as we score, I'm happy, bro. I mean, there's definitely times in the games where, I mean, I love being a distraction. Like, I love being out there on the floor where somebody's always worried about me and my teammates can eat. As long as we score, I don't care. I could just be a distraction out there and just kind of just be out there and not a distraction. I mean, is that the right word for it?
No.
Yeah, decoy, yeah. Let me not misquote myself, y'all. A decoy out there. So, I mean, yeah, it's good whenever my teammates are aggressive and they make plays without me even touching the ball.
It's from a podcast, because this is kind of like a low-key interview.
I think that was post-game, I'm pretty sure.
But either way, good vibe. Yeah, I'm loving it. Yeah. This is an interview long-form answer from Trey.
Okay, but here's my question. So you don't care about playing off the ball, do you?
Well,
so
it just,
what happened?
Because the DeJounte Murray thing was just because, well, there's times he wants the rock. When he's playing with a bunch of scrubs from the, you know, that are from the G League or guys we traded for, it's a different dynamic. And I mean that with all due respect for George Nying and everybody else, but those guys were on their game. If you didn't see it, Nying went for 20. He was 5 of 8 from 3. Reese Sashay, 3 of 7 but he scored 22. Everybody was doing the thing. Dyson Daniels with 5 steals last night against the Sixers. Great stuff. One more from Trey about the refs.
I don't think it's any different. I think that's been a lot of frustration with a lot of players on continuation calls. I think certain guys get it and certain guys don't. I'm obviously a guy that's gotten it a lot over these past few years, and it's not even continuation. It's just I gathered the ball before they even found me, and I mean, I get to the line a lot, so they don't want to let me get to the line all the time, I guess, so they wave the call off and just give me the foul, which at the end of the day, it doesn't help us. I mean, it gives them a foul, but at the end of the day, just call it how it's supposed to be called, and everything would be good.
Hey, man, if you can win a playoff series, it'd be long, tall order, whether it's Cleveland or Boston, but certainly more respect for Trey and start getting some of those calls. As you mentioned, guys, 3-game win streak. They're off tonight, H-Town, tomorrow night, right here on 92.9 The Game. Story 3, college hoops.
Story number 3.
Calipari, man. You know, I've been following that Vice documentary, which is pretty cool, on Vice Sports in Arkansas. He's got some tremendous athletes. Can he coach them up? Well, these guys, every night, someone else steps up. And if you missed the game, here's Calipari saying, well, we're playing Tennessee next. Talked about playing Tennessee, how bad they looked at times. Take a listen.
I think I burned the tape. You know, people get mad. He burned the tape. Yeah, I'm not going to watch. If I don't believe it's my team that I'm going to watch, why would I watch it? the South Carolina game. I'm not watching that tape. That's not my team. But I was able to tell them, if you don't become more physical, if you don't do this together, you're going to take a lot of these. And we did.
Now, it's, again, went over St. John's. It's a Texas Tech in the 3-10. If they can handle that, man, boy, oh, boy, you could have Florida or Maryland. And certainly, you know, Calipari, it's about getting hot at the right time, Chris, and they're playing some great hoop.
Tech is a 5.5-point favorite. Low on over-under at 147.5.
Yeah, the fours and fives. We said how much athleticism they were bringing. Big story, though, is, you know, Rick Pitino's got R.J. Lewis, the Big East Player of the Year, and all of a sudden the guy couldn't hit. Here's Rick Pitino, because apparently Walter Berry and Chris Mullin aren't walking through that door, pal.
Played 30 minutes. It's a long time.
So he was tired?
No, played 30 minutes and I went with other people. You already know the answers, Roger. You're asking leading questions. You already know it. So don't ask leading questions. You already know why he didn't play.
Was there one play with RJ that made you sit him the last 5 minutes?
You know he was 3-17. You know he was 0-3. So you're answering your own. I'm not going to knock one of my players.
Well, can't you just say he's having a bad night shooting? Can you just say that? I mean, I've enjoyed that all since it comes on right after the Calipari documentary, which is the one on St. John's. Come on, Rick. Well, it's, you know, you could tell. He knew he blew a great opportunity to get to the big dance, or at least certainly to the Elite Eight.